Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, hold on a minute. Let's a little more energy, Landy.
Holy hell!
I'm just catching my breath right now. If you have not heard, the lucky mug was out and it did work. I mean, Chris, it's pandemonium. Hurdle does it on the penalty kill to give the Sharks a series tying win with the score 2-1 in the second overtime. I am joined by Chris JWS. I am at Eric Landy. It is great to have everybody here tuning in. Chris, I don't even know what to say. You start us off while I cue those graphics.
Holy crap, what an ending. That's the lowest of lows, because it was like, oh gosh, of course they call that one. We're so screwed. It's going to be over. And then Hurdle gets a good look. Was like, oh, it's not quite a breakaway. Probably just going to bounce off Fleury, and it goes in. And you're like, holy crap. There it is. Just iconic ending. We are going to game seven. I'm still just like, I'm half out of breath. Like, whoa, that was a moment. And I, you know, it was not the best game they played. Jones saved their bacon quite a bit, and he owes them a few. So, hey, that's all good. Not their most impressive performance, but it got it done in double overtime. Wow, do you have the graphics ready?
I do. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know how it rolls, but I'll just say it for everybody joining us. To be a part of the show, use the hashtag TealTownUSA. Follow us on Twitter at TealTownUSA. I have got the Twitter machine up and running on my machine, so you can send some questions there. You can also hit us up on the Facebook, again, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course the YouTube chat, which we try to monitor the best we can. And, you know, I like Chris was saying, it's just, I mean, it's pure pandemonium at this point. And I don't know if you're a Vegas fan tuning in, you know, it was a hard fought battle of attrition. So there's nothing to hang your hat, you know, on for not, you know, just not getting it in the end. It was just going to be a battle of wills and fatigue. So, I mean, hats off to Vegas. They played a heck of a game. And this is probably the game we all thought we were going to get going into this series as far as what it was going to look like. And it seems like all of the scoring has just evaporated, and the Sharks taking advantage of what little chances they had. And Martin Jones, I mean, just coming up so big. I mean, this, dare I say it, the best game in Teal he's ever played. I don't think that there's any other way to say that. I know that he has a record number of saves in this. I'm going into double overtime. I don't know if it's his second double overtime. I think it's a second double overtime of his career.
Yeah, I believe Vegas last year, they did play a double overtime game, and there might have been one or two other ones in previous years, but damn, that was, I mean, I was feeling shades of Dallas versus Sharks 2008, like memories of staying up late before my midterm the next day and just, you know, quadruple overtime or whatever that crazy thing was. But whoa, I mean, that was a game. That was a hell of a game. 1-1, just nail biter all the way. Not a pretty game, but it was the game they needed to have. And Martin Jones, thank goodness, he did not let any bad goals in. And that's the big thing, is they needed him to be dependable to win this game and get it to a game seven. They got a shot. I think it's, what is it, 25 teams? Or I know it's 20-something teams that have ever had a 3-1 deficit overcome. It's not impossible.
28 teams. And last time to do it was New York Rangers on Washington Capitals 2015. I still had that stat handy. And you know what? It was time. You know, it's a first time for everything for this franchise. And you know what? First time from coming back down from that hole. You're going to the friendly confines of SAP. And I do not know, you know, just those last few games of the season, how important that was to finish above Vegas, to make sure that you got that home ice, to get the home ice, the confines of SAP. super important. So, you know what? Like you said, the Sharks have a chance. They certainly looked and came out a little flat-footed to begin with. It seemed like they were kind of just doing very much kind of feeling out what the game six was going to look like. And we had some pretty good saves on both ends of the ice in that first period. However, Logan Couture does open up the scoring with 6 seconds left in that first period, giving the Sharks the 1-0 lead. It came from a Bernsey flip out high into the neutral zone with Timo. I mean, Timo not having that great of a game tonight, in my opinion, but he did corral that puck and was able to hand it off to Logan. Logan is moving to his left and he snipes it right top hand corner against that glove that Fleury has been having some issues with. And the Sharks go in to the first period, intermission with the lead 1-0. Chris, I mean, how important was that goal just at the very beginning? I mean, heck, even the first 5 minutes not allowing a goal in for their confidence.
I said before the game, you know, a shocking prediction, first goal wins. And getting that first goal to me is like, okay, that is so big because this team does not play well against Vegas from behind. I think of all the times they've trailed Vegas, I don't know how many wins they have. It's not many. So that goal, especially for the Sharks, was extremely important. The right, you know, starting off on the right foot, not letting in a goal in the first few minutes, and just kind of, even if it wasn't a beautiful performance, kind of playing Vegas to a draw. And that the Sharks win those close games with Vegas. They don't win the barn burners. They win the close games where it's those, you know, white knuckle, tense, you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know who's going to win for sure. Those are the games they win, and they made it a tight game. That Martin Jones, he showed up big tonight. There's no two ways about it. After the performance he had a couple nights ago where he didn't want to talk to the media, huge to see Martin Jones come out the way he has the last two games. He has been rock solid, and hopefully he continues that, because if the Martin Jones the last two games shows up for game seven, they may well make a do a franchise first here.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's just a lot of confidence for Martin Jones going into game seven. I mean, single-handedly getting the Sharks to game seven. And you know what? Like they say in game sevens, it's a coin flip. It's, you know, whoever can snatch that momentum out of the air first. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, because in that second period, Jonathan Marchessault ties it up, his third of the series, from Theodore and Carlson. It is 1-1 with 9 minutes left into that second period. It looks like the Sharks kind of started to get a little bit of heavy legs, it looked like to me. Either heavy legs or really going into that defensive shell early, because, you know, they were just peppered all night in that second period. It was 7-17 in favor of the Vegas Golden Knights. This is where Jones really stepped up his game and kept them in the game, tied 1-1. Heading into the third, it's 1-1. And the Sharks have 50 seconds of power play time to begin that third period. And I mean, there was probably more zone chances and chances for Vegas on a Sharks power play, but you know, that inability to win the special teams, you were thinking, oh no, this is going to bite San Jose right in the butt. But you know, they were able to weather the Vegas penalty kills momentum. And I mean, Chris, what did you see from the power play kind of all night tonight? They looked like the first two, they looked pretty, you know, looked like they were moving it pretty well. But the first half of the second penalty and the first penalty looked like they were moving it well. But after that second intermission going in the third period, it just looked funky. What do you think, Chris?
Oh, had some good moments, some bad moments. It definitely was not. I mean, we haven't seen a great power play. By the way, here's Edgar, because I know the chat has been asking to see some Edgar. He's the second most popular kitty on the show. There we go. But I mean, special teams, honestly, for the Sharks, this whole series hasn't been a big factor. Overall, in those two periods, I mean, the Sharks got outshot more than roughly around 2-1. That first period, they were even, and then Vegas possessed the puck a lot more. But that's where I said Martin Jones had a huge game. He did not, you know, he didn't let any easy ones in. He didn't let any hard ones in either. Like, he had some pretty good looks that he stopped. And that's the Martin Jones I think we were all expecting. So, you know, I think that if they keep playing like that in front of him, they're going to have trouble. But they did not hang him out to dry. They didn't give Vegas any breakaways. If they can get a little bit more puck possession in front of him and go the other direction, I think it'll help. But, man, I'm still just, you know, it's good to feel a win like that because, man, I was like, oh, is it going to end like this? Is it going to be another one of these triple overtime heartbreakers or something like that? But, yeah, it feels good, man. Feels good.
I just think about, you know, WWE and just thinking, are you not entertained? You know what I mean? It's just such a crazy roller coaster ride this game. But going into that third, it seemed like we were holding on for dear life there in that third period because, boy, the Sharks only muster 4 shots in the entire third period with Vegas having 17 shots again. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, the Sharks just need to get out of this period, you know, need to do something.
It sounds like Hurdle wished us all a happy Easter, by the way, in the post game, which, you know, happy Easter must be always.
Exactly. So the Sharks, I limp in to the third intermission and actually come out quite well in that first overtime period. I thought that they owned the majority of the play. You know, the shot totals bear it out a little bit. The Sharks with 8 shots on goal, with Vegas having 7. You know, I just kept seeing LeBanc, Thornton, and Sorensen tonight with a tenacious forecheck. You know, LeBanc making some really heady plays on the boards, and for such a small forward to hang in there on some really, really aggressive hitting by the Vegas Blue Liners. You can't talk about how much this kid has progressed. You know, last year, you know, the expectations were very high for LeBanc. You know, people seemed a little down on his 40-point season, but this year he follows it up with a 50-plus point season and just growing before our eyes, and especially in these playoffs, it looks like Peter DeBoer is trusting him little bit by little bit. Game 5, he did ride the pine pony in that third period, but Game 6, he had no problem rolling him and rolling him and rolling him. So, hats off to him. Gus Nyquist did drop down from his spot on the Hurdle line. Donskoy brought back and reunited with Hurdle and Kane and Donskoy. Again, another guy that really we wanted to see some more from, and he's now firmly cemented his spot in the lineup. This is the way that the lineup should have been going into this series, but you know what? they figure it out, and they figured it out just in time with the lineup. Chris, what do you think Jonas Donskoy gives to that fourth line instead of a Michael Haley there?
I say this knowing his current drought, but he definitely gives more scoring touch that line. And if anyone listened to our preview we did with Sinbin Vegas, he said that was one of the number one guys that has given Vegas trouble from his perspective. It was number one would have been Hurdle, and number two was Jonas Donskoy. And I was saying prior to the series, let's not play the shenanigans. Let's not play into the Ryan Reeves BS, because honestly, he's better at it than Haley. He's better at gooning than Haley is. And the less the Sharks have gotten involved in the funny business, the more success they've had in this series. I mean, not just that, it might also be Jones being able to make a save, but you know what I mean. And I think definitely, I saw he got hit pretty good. I'm honestly wondering if Donskoy is going to be available next game. If you saw that one hit he took, he looked a little wobbly afterwards. I haven't seen.
But he did take a shift afterwards. So, you know, it could just be adrenaline. But we'll see. You know, we'll keep our eyes peeled for any kind of tweets coming in the way. You know, they'll be flying home tonight. And we'll see what comes out tomorrow. I certainly hope that he is available for Game 7 because he has a knack for scoring some really important goals. And, you know, maybe he'll be the Game 7 hero. We'll see. But there were no heroes in that overtime, the first overtime that is. And we roll into the next overtime. And, boy, Vegas came out with a blitz in that first overtime. It looked like the Sharks were hanging on for dear life the first 5 minutes. Then they kind of got their legs back a little bit. And just when you thought that the tide was starting to turn with the fourth line out on the ice, Barkley Goodrow, you know, I feel for the kid because they were allowing slashes and hits, you know, that were high and you know, thundering hits, and he gets called for a slash? I mean,
I believe my exact tweet was, that's the one you call?
Exactly. And so then you're thinking, oh no. Double overtime, the Sharks go down a man, they have to kill this off. They must be gassed. And you get a little bit of a break on the boards. You get a nice up pass to a streaking Tomáš Hertl, who, by the way, goes in one on two, meaning there are two Vegas defensemen draped all over him. He's moving to his left, eerily similar to the way that Logan scored, shoots glove side high, and we have a Game 7. Tomáš Hertl with the game-winning goal. Mr. Game 7 prediction himself. And that's how you do it, folks. You know, just thinking about it from the Sharks' perspective, you think, oh my goodness, this must give them such an emotional lift. Chris, what do you think Vegas has got to be thinking right now?
I mean, if I'm Vegas, and I think they're definitely feeling confident regardless. Like, this is not a small-time team. This is a team that went to the finals last year. I'm sure they're thinking, okay, let's get back to business. We had to win one game. Probably the same approach the Sharks have been taking the last two games. So if I'm Vegas, yeah, I'm just like, you know what? I can beat these guys and go. Kelsey actually gets a foreseen point. I think we can all vouch for, in our internal Teal Town chat, Kelsey predicted a Hertl game winner. She said 19 minutes ago, Hertl scoring the game winner. So she gets a foreseen point there for whoever's keeping official score of that. And by the way, chat, we will get to you, chat. I'm sorry if we're not engaging a lot because it's two of us tonight, but we will be getting to you in a few minutes here.
You know, like we always say, it's hashtag Cam Warding this bitch, so I guess it's hashtag double teaming? I don't know.
Pretty much. But that was not an easy play for Hertl to make either. Like, that was not like a clean breakaway or something. Also, there are 91 people watching. If you are new here, hit that subscribe button, please. By all means, I'll let you do the spiel.
Yeah, if you have not already done that, please hit that subscribe. It's in the bottom right hand corner. However, if you are using other social media types, we are also available on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course the replays on YouTube. Catch us for all kinds of editorials on TealTownUSA.com. And yeah, we appreciate
literally every social media. Like, Buckeyes even on Tinder. I mean,
oh, he went there, but I hope that he's wearing his Teal Town USA shirt on his profile picture. Just saying.
Better than the joke I used to make about that back in the day. The old schoolers know the one I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, exactly. We got the Generation X-Wing and the Chester Chivos of the world who have hung by us, you know, since day one. Of course, Laurel also on the super chat. She is also doing a great job monitoring and just giving some great input on there. Something that a long-timer, Rob Iman, chiming in with. Do you think that Hertl will have himself a assistant captaincy next year? What are you thinking, Chris, on that?
Trying to think, who are the current A's today? I think Couture, Joe Jumbo has one.
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
Well, it's Pabs for C, and then two A's would be Logan and would be Joe. And then I think Vlasic sometimes will don an A, and so will Burns sometimes don an A. So it depends.
Okay, yeah, because I think it's like, I think there's technically no limit. I think it's traditionally like three people. So I could totally see. I mean, Couture is definitely not gonna not have an A. I think Thornton. I mean, I don't think he would. I don't think he's gonna trip if they like, oh, we're giving the A to Hurdle this year. You know, assuming he's around next year, I hope he is because I love Thornton. But I don't think he's gonna trip over the A thing because you know he's.
He's OG. You know what? Yeah. Well, not only that, but I think you know that it's clearly documented how much love Jumbo has for Hurdle. So I do not think that he'll mind one bit handing it off to a great.
The feeling is mutual too.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know what? I mean, Hurdle, that little kid that lit up Marty Biron and Henrik Lundqvist has blossomed before our eyes. His 70-point plus season this year, cementing him as that cornerstone piece we all thought he was going to be. It took a long time for him to recover and really gain his strength, but boy howdy, they have a special one, don't they, Chris, on this guy?
Yeah, post Dustin Brown, it took him a few years to really find his stride again. And also, I mean, like, he set the expectations way up here with that 4-goal game, and maybe people are expecting a little too much, a little too soon. But, you know, I think he's like 25 years old. He's still relatively young. Like, he's right in that mid 20s range. He's still pretty young, and he's really come into his own. He's gone from a pretty good third to four, you know, second, third liner to a solid first line guy who legitimately scares other teams. Like I said, with Sinbin Vegas, he said Hurdle is the number one guy who scares them. And it's been a couple of years, but he's really, this year, his game is complete. Everything, scoring, assists, being able to play center. Yeah, he's he plays the full game, and that's really what's made him a great player this year, is he plays in every zone really well.
We want to thank all of you, all 90 plus. We did peak around 98, so I really appreciate for everybody coming on, hopping in. If you have friends that love the Sharks, why don't you go ahead and tell them about us too? Because word of mouth is great. We're always loving the subscribes that we get during the playoffs, and you know what? We hope that we continue to ride this thing in. You know, we'll be going live after game 7 regardless of whether we win or lose, but you know, this has just been such an emotional roller coaster, and we love being your guys' outlet and gals' outlet for everything.
We are
emotional.
All inclusive here.
Exactly. And
nearly,
so again,
nearly 400 straight post games. We're going to be hitting that mark sometime early next year, so, or you know, if they get to the Stanley Cup Finals, we might hit this year.
See, yeah, and we just eclipsed the 1300 mark on subscriberships. I believe we're what, in the 1330s. We've got over 3,000 subscribes on the Twitter. So if you have not already, please check out the Teal Town USA Twitter account for great gifts, gifting by AJ Strong and Puck Guy himself.
And it's a brand, gifts by AJ.
Exactly. It is a brand. Gifts by AJ. Yona Verzeman, you're the first guy I see in the chat right now. Two or fewer is preserved. That is entirely true. But I think that the biggest thing, Martin Jones certainly showed up in great spectacular form tonight. But boy, you talk about defensive assignments and you talk about playing a workmanlike game. The Sharks, not very many high danger chances tonight, limiting mostly to the perimeter, giving Martin Jones really good visibility towards the net. But the thing that I'm really, really impressed with that I didn't think Martin Jones could bounce back from was the fact that he's now fronting the puck a lot with a lot more aggressiveness. He's coming out into the top of the crease. He's playing a lot bigger than he is. And when Martin Jones is on his game, that's the way we know Martin Jones can play. And you know what? He's got all of those hallmarks right now of that guy that hung on in the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup finals. And boy, Jones picked a hell of a time to start playing great.
And there's a few people in the chat saying, hey, it's only the first round. You know what? We can get excited about this because, you know, the Sharks looked dead after game four. Like, they were dead and buried. They could easily gone out with a whimper in game five and had it just all be over. They played a solid game last game, and they played a nail-biter tonight, and they came up with the big win when they really counted. And most importantly, Martin Jones. I feel so good for him right now because he was correctly criticized very harshly because, man, he was playing brutal. Like, not it wasn't just the defense. He was playing very poorly. He could not buy a save, and he's bounced, you know, after not doing the post game, he came back and he has been workmanlike. He has made the saves. He has not let his team down, and he looks like a guy who understands his entire, you know, there's a question about what his future is with the team after that, those performances he had. So it's good. It's really good to see him bouncing back and really finding himself. Cause I was like, man, this guy's got to be so deep in his own head. If he's not wanting to even talk to the media afterwards, he's got to feel like, he's got to feel like he's let his teammates down. So it's, I feel so happy for him. It's good to see him.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. If I can lay a hurdle quote there. But yeah, I mean, this sets up just an incredible game seven. It's going to be Tuesday sometime. You got to figure, you know, you're going to have an awesome night of hockey, folks. You know, that first game against Toronto and Boston is going to be a doozy. And then you follow it up with the nightcap that is Vegas and San Jose. And this will light the hockey world a buzz because, like us, I think like most people, the Sharks look dead to rights and honestly had no business coming back into the series after the way that they played. But you get a few bounces here, you manufacture your luck, and you get some timely goaltending, and this team, even as hurt as it is still extremely dangerous. And you know, we can just go run down through the metrics right now, but you've got a guy like Brent Burns logging 42 minutes tonight. You got Erik Karlsson clocking in at 36. Honestly, the best defensive defenseman tonight for the Sharks for me, Justin Braun. He put in yeoman's work tonight, and he was rewarded with 36 minutes. Mark-Edward Vlasic, 37 minutes, and Brendan Dillon with 21 minutes. Joakim Ryan played 7 minutes. And for a double overtime game with 7 minutes, not a great look. not a great look, but you know what? It doesn't really matter how you get there. You just get to game 7.
That's averaging about 2 minutes a period tonight. Not so great. I did like Vlasic's game as well. I thought, and we were hard on him pretty early in the season, but he had a pretty solid game. I think having him back has definitely made the defense more organized. Like, I don't know why it was so catastrophic with him out, but he's definitely helped organize the defense better. Dillon had a great play where he managed to knock the puck off his stick. Overall, though, the defensive effort has been considerably better too. It's not just Jones playing better. The defensive effort in front of him has been better. They've been better at not giving Vegas all kinds of prime opportunities to tee up against Jones. So, I mean, it's front to back, good effort. The only thing I say, like, can we please get a little more offense? Because if you're giving Vegas twice as many shots, your chances of winning, you know, game seven, you got to do a little more than that offensively. But getting up early, I think that's going to be the big key to game seven. The Sharks, when they get up early and when they don't let the game get out of hand, that's when they can win. If a game gets out of hand early, they don't win.
Yeah. And you know what? I cannot echo that more, Chris. You're exactly right. It is a momentum dagger for this team when they let in that early goal or the late goal. But really, the thing that keeps haunting them is that early goal. But the Sharks do such a great job tonight, basically. Well, and they shut out Vegas for the first period, so if you're gonna do it, you might as well do it right like that. But going over to the time on ice for the forwards, the old man, captain himself, Joe Pavelski clocking in with 31-29. You could see his legs were super heavy, but he kept going out there and was effective. Evander Kane with 27 minutes. Gus Nyquist, 15 minutes. Joe Thornton with 20 minutes. Almost 21 minutes there. Marcus Sorensen, 18 minutes. Barkley Goodjoe, 16 minutes. Jonas Donskoy with almost 20 minutes. Timo Meier, 25 minutes. Logan with 30. Hurdle with 30. LeBanc with 20 and Melker Carlson with 16. So no forward had less than 15 minutes on ice tonight, including that fourth line. And that fourth line really helped carry that play. They broke up some defensive zone starts that they took. They kind of broke it up a little bit and then got that puck in deep. So that's all you can ask for that fourth line. Basically neutralized Vegas's fourth line and just was more skilled straight up. But the shots on goal overall, and this is exactly where Chris is saying, can't do this again. Shots on goal, 29 for the Sharks, 59 for the Vegas Golden Knights. Basically, the Golden Knights with a 2-1 advantage there. And like I said before, this was all Jones all day. Faceoff. The Sharks were getting beat really badly through the first three periods of the hockey game, but they kind of came back and got a little bit of their footing in the second and the first overtimes. So the faceoff percentages end up not looking that bad at 44% for the Sharks, 56% for the Golden Knights. Sharks go 0-2 on the power play. Vegas goes 0-3, which, again, cannot stress how important that penalty kill is. The penalty kill was clipping at a pace of 66.67%. It was not great. So for every three power plays that Vegas got, they got at least one goal statistically speaking. So, you know, Vegas held out on the statistical scoreboard tonight, and, you know, the luck draw of averages did not favor them tonight because they had three power plays. By the stats, they should have gotten a goal, but again, yeoman's work by the PK, and the PK was a plus one, a very important plus one.
And Teddy asking in the chat, you know, what were the scoring chances as far as high danger and all that? It was high danger. It was 11 for Sharks and 16 for Vegas. So the definitely not as lopsided as the shots, but overall, yeah, it's like offensively the Sharks need to do better possessing the puck next game, because Martin Jones definitely saved their bacon in this one. I mean, I think he kind of owed them one. It's good that he stole one, but let's not win that way again, please.
Exactly. So Jones's stat line tonight, 55 of 56 shots attempted. He makes 55 saves, and for a safe percentage of 983, which looks stellar. Over on the other side, Marc-Andre Fleury, basically a 931 save percentage, 29 shots seen, 27 shots, and the margins were that thin, folks. That thin, 0.05% splits between the two goalies, half a percentage point, and oh my goodness, I mean, it's crazy. Actually, not even a half a percentage point. It's what? Actually like 3 percentage points, but anyhow, math is hard right now for me.
It's good to see though the Sharks not roll over, you know, like after game 4, like I said, they were done and buried. It's like I wouldn't have been surprised if they came out in game 5 and just went out with a whimper, but if they go down, they are not going down without a fight. And think of it this way, the top 2 seeds in the East and West, the Sharks now have 3 times as many wins as those two. So it combined. So you know what? Definitely not as bad as that.
Yeah. Aiden asking, or actually Ted asking, do you think that Donskoy is okay after the hit? Again, I saw him take 2 shifts after that hit. He looked okay to me, but Chris did see him kind of wobbling back to the bench a little bit after the initial hit. So we'll see. You know, with the concussion stuff, you've got to be extremely careful because it is not very clear cut. You know, the effects can linger or not happen for a day and then kind of creep up out of you. I mean, I've had concussions. Chris has had concussions. It's kind of really body to body. So we will see. And Laurel, thank you so much. Laurel with the tip. And she's giving a dollar for every win we hope we get going through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Laurel is an original OG, so thank you so much.
You forgot the part where she said it goes to Edgar if we don't.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, hey, you know what? That's okay by me. But let's talk about now going into Game 7. I know, Chris, you're not a big momentum from game to game kind of person. I don't think you ever have been. But do you think that the seeds of doubt are being placed in Vegas right now? Oh, and Christian, thank you so much for your tip as well. Laurel is a beaut. That she is, definitely. But getting back to my question, Chris, do you think that there's any kind of seed of doubt in Vegas's mind right now? Because they basically had the Sharks on the ropes and have been unable to clinch on the Sharks' ice or on their home ice. Sharks stealing back that ever-so-important home ice in the series. But what do you think? Do you think that there's any kind of psychological, you know, issues going on here or seeds being planted?
I mean, maybe a little bit, because I think one thing, at least me, it's less of a doubt thing or more of a Jones suddenly looks like Martin Jones that, you know, the good Jones that we haven't seen in a while. So maybe there's a little bit of doubt of like, okay, we can't just pepper him and get goals because just he's going to let in some stinkers. And they're definitely not getting the same amount of opportunities they gained before. So maybe there's a little doubt just in the sense that the Sharks are measurably playing better. The goaltender's playing better. The defense is playing better. They're not going to be able to just tee up and have fun taking shots all day long and getting goals. They're hopefully, fingers crossed, Game 7 is going to be a grind. And if the Sharks go down, they're going to make Vegas work for it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anybody who's coming out of this is going to be extremely bruised and battered. I mean, you know, going into a series with the Avalanche, who've got fresh legs. However, you know, something that's kind of lost on everything is the Sharks now hold the highest seed in the Western Conference, and I believe that they hold, what, the second highest seed in the NHL? I think only behind, not the Islanders, but might be Washington?
Yeah, but I believe only behind Washington at this point. So, by the way, another appearance by Edgar here.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, the path is kind of being laid out in front of the Sharks' eyes. The West is pretty much, you know, up for grabs. The Sharks just have to really just have to will it. And there is a clear path to getting forward. But Chester Chivo on Twitter, thank you so much. And he tweeted at Eric Landy. So if you guys want to get your questions in, and might be a little bit easier tonight on Twitter because we are doing
we are multitasking here.
Exactly. He asks, is Tuesday game the biggest in Sharks playoff history, only to Game 6 versus the Pens?
No.
Oh boy. I mean, no. There are some Western Conference games. Yeah. I think the first round ever in the Sharks, I think, though. In the history of the Sharks, I think this is the biggest. What do you think?
For first round, I mean, arguably, there's been bigger games in the sense of, I think, like pretty much every game after like game one or two in the Western Conference Finals in 2016. I mean, all the biggest games in Shark history, almost all of them happened in 2016, you know, when they were about to make the finals, when they are in the finals. Oh, and by the way, shout out to our good friends at Let's Go Blues Radio. They advanced as well. So, you know, if the Sharks do find a way through through Vegas, you know, they have to go through Colorado next, but we might well see our good friends again.
That's true. It would be setting up for a San Jose-St. Louis reunite, you know, from the year that we did go to the Stanley Cup Finals. But let's talk about the Sharks' resiliency. And especially going through the second to third period, the third period to the overtime and overtime into second overtime, I think it's really important to see how the Sharks kind of had this air of, look, we've been here, we've done that, we've lost these games, we've won these games, and we know what it's about. and they had just kind of that air of workman, you know, workmanlike confidence. You know, I think that for me, the most interesting kind of dynamic to watch was just how calm they were even under siege. You know, they weren't kind of running out of place like we've normally seen. It wasn't like, you know, the Benny Hill gang and just watching them in their own defensive zone. You know, they looked like they played to their structure even when, you know, their legs were about to fall off, literally. Chris, what do you just think about their commitment to the system overall tonight, especially in the defensive zone?
So this is something I've said on Twitter, and I've had many arguments about over the years. Is I've said a million times, if you're in the NHL, you're motivated. You have no motivation issue ever. It's an execution issue, because you can be overly motivated. That's entirely possible. You know, I've coached runners before. If you're overly motivated, you're going to try to do too much. You're going to try too hard. You're going to do things you shouldn't do, as opposed to executing your plan and doing what you're supposed to do. And that's what the Sharks have done the last two games, is they have executed on their plan, for better or for worse. Stick to the script. Don't try to don't do too little. Don't do too much. Don't be undercommitted where you're not blocking shots or doing what you need to do. But also don't be a hero. Don't play hero puck. Execute, play the game. Even if something bad happens, just keep executing. I think that's what they've been like. It's been unfazed. Like, they haven't been, it's honestly been maybe a little boring, but that's what they need to do. They don't win against Vegas playing exciting hockey. They win against Vegas playing boring old executing hockey. And I see there we have another another pet of Teal Town.
Yes, we do. Her name is Gaeta. She is from the mean streets of East San Jose. This is for all the dog lovers in the chat. Landy representing with the five rescues. He's got five of them.
And we got another, a little more accurate.
So we are a friend of all the furries here. I mean, you know, of course, Puck Guy having Sharky and Marlo, you know, Kayla, and then, of course, Edgar. So we are well represented here with the animal loving. And I just wanted to get that up there for Marty T, who was asking, where is the dog representation?
I mean, Kayla is like the number one in the power rankings of Teal Town pets. But after that, it's pretty wide open field, if you ask me. Kayla has been holding the number one spot in the power rankings for quite a while.
Yes, she has. And the monster printer back there. So I am a heavy believer in the laser printer there. So it's laser printing and it's duplexing, and I like it. I like it a lot. Go check it out.
Is that a rescue as well?
No. That was not a rescue.
I figured it was a rescue from the 1990s. So
Daniel Martinez asking, the monster printer in the background. Yeah, there's a lot of monstrous things in this room. Of course, the monster laundry, which has just grown in size. But yeah, it just. Oh my goodness, I'm going through this and it's very surreal, because, you know, we're kind of going through all the stats, we're going through everything, and it's like, yeah, the Sharks won, but boy, under siege, they basically had to take every little last bit of energy to win this one. I mean, they had to dig deep, and I think this is one of the strongest character wins that we've seen, you know, San Jose have. I mean, especially, I mean, since going back to the Stanley Cup final, for sure. But
one time we're saying in the chat, the Sharks have never forced a game when seven went down 1-3. I think that's correct. I don't know.
I haven't
checked that, but that sounds right to me. Yeah. I remember they came ever so close with Dallas, you know, that epic quadruple overtime game. Also 1-1 until the very end there, when there was a power play. Of course, that was a power play against Sharks that went the wrong way that time. But, yep. And that was an epic performance. Nabokov, if you all remember that one, quite a performance. But we should probably wrap around the league, or, you know, as the kids say.
I think we all love this time of the night. It is your NHL reach around. Unfortunately, I don't have the audio, but you know what? We got to keep
reach,
that going.
Reach around.
Exactly. So your only other game today on Easter Sunday, everybody who is celebrating, go Easter. If not, then happy Sunday. And hopefully your Monday is not too bad. But the Boston Bruins defeat the Maple Leafs 4-2 to force a Game 7 out on the East Coast. Morgan Rielly opens up the scoring for Toronto at 9:42 in the first. Nylander and Marleau assisting. Marleau, you know, for everybody keeping count, Marleau's got two assists in that series. Brad Marchand, the Licker himself, with his third goal of the series. Bergeron with his second assist of the season series. Torrey Krug with his first goal. Pasternak and Marchand with the assists there. Now it's 2-1 Toronto, 2-1 Boston, excuse me. Jake DeBrusque then puts in the third dagger goal in that second period. It is Jake DeBrusque from David Krejci and David Pasternak. Auston Matthews gets Toronto a little bit of light in that third, but unfortunately, Brad Marchand, the Licker again, gets his fourth of the series, and now it is going to a Game 7, like we said. It will be Tuesday. It will be the early game, but quite frankly, they're probably both going to be early. Chris, I don't know if you've seen anything yet from anywhere on the NHL, but do you know if we've got a time yet for Tuesday's game?
Last I checked, there are no times yet. Yeah, if I had to guess, I would think it's probably going to be a 4 o'clock start for sure for them, and then probably somewhere between 5:30 and 7 for us. I hope it'll be earlier. That would be nice, but
Sinbin saying 7 p.m., AJ echoing as well, 7, and of course Ted saying 10 p.m. Eastern, so it will be a 7 o'clock game start, which is great because, you know, the teal definitely represent when it is in that 7:30-ish ball game. You know, it's just easier, I think, on the schedule makers for sure to get that in at the 7 p.m. start time.
And speaking of Sinbin, we should definitely I need to hit him up on Twitter, and we need to do a little preview of Game 7 because at this point, nothing matters. It's one game for all the marbles. So we'll probably have to talk about it, how the series has gone so far. I'm sure we'll have a few gripes about the refs. I'm sure he'll have a few gripes about the refs. We'll all have a few gripes about the refs and probably a few more, because that seems if there's one thing we can all agree on, the refs have sucked this series. But
and you know, you say that, and this is the second set of officiating, because the officials all got swapped out. We've got brand new officials for this game and going into Game 7. They have not reffed in this series yet. Tonight was their first game. However, I will give them this. The overall, you know, distribution of power plays tonight was pretty even. Of course, Vegas getting one extra. But, you know, it seemed pretty consistent. It was consistently not calling things. I think the only one that we really kind of drew a lot of criticism for was in that second overtime with that really weak slash. You know, I felt as if the Vegas player kind of dropped a stick there because he knew Barkley was coming in with the two-hander, and it looked like he just kind of dropped a stick there trying to get that call. But on the whole, it was called very loosely, and it was called very loosely on both sides, so I didn't really have too much of a problem with that. I just want consistency. I don't really care if it's consistently a lot of penalties or consistently not a lot. I just want some consistency.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the only thing I ask for. Just be consistent. By the way, I know there is a chatter on Twitter about this. I think their coach now is looking for a job at SAP Center. You know, he wants to be a blue coat.
Yeah, if you have not already checked it out, AJ and Puck Guy tag teaming for some great hilarity. I believe it came actually from Puck Guy, but it was thrown up on the Insta by AJ. It's Gerard Gallant auditioning for his, you know, in his best blue suit for that SAP ushering job. Take a look at it. His name is Gallant. He's been there since 2019.
And shout out to a boy and his team. He had the same idea. I think almost everyone who saw that was like, that looks a lot like somebody who's told me to not lean forward.
This just in from the NHL public relations, Tomáš Hertl of the San Jose Sharks is the first player in NHL history to score a shorthanded winner in a game that required multiple overtimes. That is crazy. This kid just keeps doing the incredible. And there you go. He's making history, ladies and gentlemen, in the NHL, which is a league that's been around for over a century. And you know what? Coming up with something really big. Christian, again, thank you so much. He needs a Teal Town shirt. We will keep that in mind, and we'll try and see what we got.
There will be Teal Town shirts in the off season. We are, we are a relatively small operation, but we are working on this. There will be shirts in the off season.
I believe we are in the process of getting the Teal Town branded merch coming out. You've seen some of those nifty polos floating around. Some of our guy AJ making it happen with Christian again. So now that's $30 on the night for Christian. Okay, boys, I think he earned himself one tonight. So we'll put that in the jar.
Dangle, in there. Galan is always angry, yelling, and looks like he smelled a nasty fart. Okay, you know, we're very mature on this post game, but I mean, honestly, after last game with the thumbs up, the Galan memes were on point. That they were excellent. The feeling when you're dead inside.
Yeah,
exactly. I loved it. So although I still think the Joe Thornton Easter memes much better. He is risen. That's all.
Yeah,
I can say.
that he has. And you know what, Jumbo? We cannot say how much of a game that he played tonight. Really, and. You know what? Like the mantra's been all season. Do this one for Joe. Let's do Game 7 for Joe. And Chris, let's start wrapping this guy up here and putting a bow and getting you set up for that Game 7. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts going into the Game 7? Let's get a couple more chiming in from the chat. But first, what are your thoughts going in on that Game 7?
I mean, it's what I said earlier about execution. Don't be overly jazzed. Don't be like, be steady, execute your plan, because the Sharks don't win by trying to overwhelm Vegas. They don't win by underwhelming Vegas. They win by showing up, executing, not getting into any funny business. Don't try to do too much. That's when the Sharks win against Vegas, when they put in a workmanlike effort. And occasionally they're able to run away with it a bit by putting in that work for several straight periods and getting a sizable lead. But don't try to beat them all at once. Take it one shift at a time. That's really the key for the Sharks. Jones has got to play steady, and they got to take it one shift at a time and just don't screw up. Don't screw up.
From the chats, AJ, can I play your merch games if I'm in Canada? Yes, you can play your merch games if you're in Canada. Shipping to Canada is not all that bad, people. Calvin Hewitt seconding the Teal Town USA Hawaiian shirts. Actually, it's funny that you say that. I do have a Hawaiian shirt. It's dark blue with little sharks all over it. So maybe we can get something like that and then have a Teal Town USA. You know, we got to come up with some kind of Hertl must be always kind of t-shirt as well. We've got some stuff coming in the works. We got something from A12345. What's the BS about Sharks fans punching people at T-Mobile? You know, it's interesting because all series long, we've been seeing this on both sides of the aisle, both Vegas and San Jose with unsportsmanlike, fans. And you know what? We don't really condone that here. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's just a game. And while we love, you know, our Sharks and we bleed teal, you know, we've got to make sure that we respect the other people on the other side. We might not respect the hockey team on the ice, but we have to respect the fellow fans. So,
yeah, and this is something, I mean, it's, you know, I always hear the stuff when there's a playoff matchup and tempers run high, and it's like, don't do that. Don't engage. Don't, you know, even yelling at people can cross the line. You know, remember that there's a whole bunch of us wearing the same color. Please don't be like that. But at the same time, also, I highly dislike people who do the very wholly disingenuous move of like, these fans are awful. Look at how, you know, Sharks fans are like this. Like, no, same thing as if somebody had done that with Vegas. Vegas fan acting like up. I don't believe they represent the whole fan base. But at the same time, yeah, we should call out our own, because I remember many times I've been at SAP and some fan has misbehaved. They've had other Sharks fans report them and get on there. I remember one time one of them let loose a slur, and it wasn't people in the opposite jerseys that was on that person's ass. It was Sharks fans saying, what the hell, shut the hell up. Be, you know, be better than this. So every fan base has them. Not cool, you know.
Yeah. So with that, my final thoughts going into the game seven is you got to keep that workmanlike mentality. You got to make sure you protect the net in the first 5 minutes of the game. Go out there, grab the momentum, get SAP fired up, because we know SAP can be a hell of a building when it's fired up. So you know what? It's do or die. You leave it all on the ice, game seven. And you know what, guys? I've got a good feeling about this. So for me, I'm at Eric Landy on all of the social media garbage. Chris, go ahead with your handles and take us home.
Well, you can find me everywhere at ChrisJWS, pretty much almost every social media. I'm not on Tinder like Puckeye, but I am on pretty much everything. I am on the Instagram. I am on the Twitter. I don't really do Facebook. Facebook's stupid. But you can find me everywhere. Happy to chat. Hit me up. I actually wrote something for the first time on the website earlier in the week. Poor Martin Jones. But yeah, that's it. You can find me in those places. And definitely, if you are new here, hit the subscribe button. We really appreciate it. It's, you know, we've been doing this for a couple years now. We'll be soon hitting our 400th straight game, probably early next year. We'll be hitting our 5-year anniversary early next calendar year. A lot of cool stuff. Andy Landy, take us home.
Okay, well, you can catch us everywhere. Check us out on TealTownUSA.com, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and, of course, on the YouTube replays. So for Puck Guy, for AJ, for Chris, for everyone here, Kelsey, we've got Mark, we've got Kevin Lacey, just for everybody here. We are all Kevin, and we all appreciate everybody stopping by and checking us out. And ladies and gentlemen, we will see you after game seven, win or lose. So keep it teal. Keep it real teal. And I think I screwed that up all over again, but let's hope that the Sharks don't screw it up after for that Tuesday game seven. Thanks, everybody. Good night.